going?
It is. Yes. Fantastic. Okay. So let me go ahead and call the meeting to order. Thank you all for being here on this Monday afternoon, the 1st of November. I can hardly believe it. It's 4:36 p.m. And as we get started, I'd like to welcome some Youth Leadership Jacks participants. We have here sitting behind Cherry, we have Alan Lee and Sonia Shaw. Hello and welcome. You look thrilled to be called out. Carla recently provided some ethics training to Youth Leadership Jacks and invited members to attend an Ethics Commission meeting, and so we have our guests. And for the benefit of the tape and for the benefit of Alan and Sonia, why don't we go around the room and say a quick hello with our names, if you don't mind, and we can start with me. I'm Ellen Schmidt. I'm the chair of the Ethics Commission. Welcome.
Darcy Gowner, vice chair of the Ethics Commission.
Is my microphone working?
No.
I don't think so. Can everybody hear me, though?
Mm-hmm.
I'm J.J. Dixon, Ethics Commission member appointed by the sheriff.
LaTanya Lipscomb-Smith, Ethics Commission.
Linda
McCallum, Ethics
Commission. Andrea Myers, Training and Program Coordinator.
Kirby Eberdorfer, Ethics Director.
Sandy Humberkaus, Executive Assistant, Ethics Office.
Hello. Oh, there we go. Hello, I'm Cherry Pollack, and I'm a representative from the Office of General Counsel. Welcome.
Eric Freiberger, Ethics Commission.
Carl DeVette, Ethics Commission.
Ethics Commission.
Thank you, everybody. Let me lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, if you'll join me and stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And as we went through everybody introducing, we have 8 of our 9 commission members here, and I think Mary Bland is trying to get here. She's trying, and hopefully we'll be able to join us. So we have quorum. And Kirby, will you go ahead and give us an ethics thought?
Yes, thank you. This quote comes to us from Oprah Winfrey, and she states that real integrity is doing the right thing, knowing that nobody's going to know whether you did it or not.
Thank you. I like that. Has everybody had a chance to look at the minutes from our previous meeting? They're in your packet if you haven't. And if anybody has, I would be happy to entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
So it's moved in second. Any discussion? Anybody have any feedback? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes as submitted, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed? No. Okay. So we're going to swing into our reports, and our first report is from Kirby for the ECHO office.
Thank you. So the ethics office has had a really busy time since you all last met. It's hard to believe it's been almost 2 months since we last saw you. It's nice to see all your smiling faces again. Mm-hmm. But it's been a whirlwind of activity in those 2 months. As you know, we had the council, we had the recognition here for Carla at the last meeting, and also the city council recognized Carla at its last meeting, October 26th, with a official proclamation resolution honoring her dedicated service to the city for decades. So that was very nice to see. And we helped a little bit with that. We also have been in the process of completing the transition from Ms. Miller to me in the office and hiring for the new ethics attorney. And I'll give you an update specifically on that later. I have been handling some conflicts things, and we were busy in September with both closing out the budget for that fiscal year and also preparing for the new budget for this year. And we've previously shared some of those numbers with you, but we did get funding approved by council, which passed at the end of September for the new attorney position. So we're going from 2 full-time people in the office to 3 full-time people, which is really nice. And we hope to add an attorney as the 3rd full-time position, and I'll get into the details of that later. But that was part of the budget that was approved, and that was put in there by the mayor's office. So we're very appreciative of their support and council for supporting that as well. We have been super busy with lots of training. We've trained a commission member on the complaints process. We've done new employee training, boards and commissions. Carla did the youth leadership Jacksonville program. Andrea trained the Mayor's Young Leader Advisory Council. Andrea and I worked a good bit of time on developing a flyer for candidates for the special election that's going on to fill the seat for council member Hazuri's seat, but it could be used by other candidates that file for office to inform them of all the state ethics laws that apply to them once they file their candidacy. So we wanted to make sure that they were aware of those laws in layman's terms, so to speak. So we created a flyer and we distributed that to them and to the supervisors of elections office, and we got some really good feedback on that, and we'll be continuing to distribute to future candidates as well. We have the last hour of council training. Their 4 hours of ethics is coming up on November 22nd here in the Linwood Roberts Room from 11 to 12. You are welcome to join us, and we will be talking about gifts and some other issues. And then lastly, there was a bunch of activity with JEA. We helped them with a fourth quarter toolkit that they were putting out on giving voice to values and encouraging people to have a speak-up culture and develop that aspect of their culture. And I worked with them on developing a conflict of interest policy for their vendors and their employees that they're going to be adopting in the new year.
Thank you. That sounded like a lot. Cherry, do you have a report from OGC for us?
Just a brief that our new general counsel, well, interim Jason Teal is now, he was voted by city council officially last Tuesday, so he is now our official general counsel. And that's pretty much my report. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. And Darcy, do you have a complaints committee report for us?
I do. Just a brief one. We have 5 complaints pending. We met last week. I believe one of them was dismissed at that meeting. And we are meeting this afternoon after this meeting to discuss the others.
Excellent. Thank you. We're going to move into new business, and so I'm going to let Kirby introduce Ordinance 2021-761. You have a copy of that in your packet, and I think might have also gotten emailed a copy. Is that correct?
Yes, I've emailed it out a couple of times, including last Friday with the materials for today's meeting. But I'll start by giving you a little bit of background for the ordinance. So as a result of COVID, the city received federal funding this year to assist businesses with COVID-related recovery from losses they sustained. And part of the funding provided to the city was allotted by council members to nonprofit organizations with which they had relationships. You may or may not have seen that in the news. Additionally, several nonprofit organizations that employ council members received direct funding in the city's budget for this fiscal year. And as reported in the news, there were some concerns raised by some nonprofit organizations and others about the lack of notice regarding the funding opportunities and potential conflicts of interest. So in response, Councilmember Diamond filed Ordinance 2021-761 to increase the notice and transparency of funding to nonprofit organizations, particularly those that employ council members. And here is a summary of the ordinance in the event you haven't been able to had opportunity to review it, but essentially it requires all funding that's appropriated to nonprofit organizations to be awarded through a competitive evaluated award process rather than direct contracts or direct budgets in the budget process. It creates also a new ethics code section, 602.413, that has 2 requirements to it. First, it requires the nonprofit to provide certain financial information, such as their Form 990 and their most recent audit. And it also requires that council members employed by the nonprofit receiving funding from the city to disclose certain information about their employment with that nonprofit and the funding in the form of an affidavit. And the requirements that are for the affidavit and disclosure by the council person are on page 3 of the bill, and it starts on line 17, paragraph 4. And these requirements were adopted from the state law, state ethics laws, and that apply in order to negate a potential conflict of interest. So you have to certify that you're not receiving any type of salary from the city funding, that you haven't participated in the city's request or award to fund the nonprofit organization, those kind of things. There's a built-in exemption under state law for employees of nonprofit organizations that receive city funding, but there's really strict requirements in order to get that exemption, and so the disclosure is modeled after the exemption requirements in the ordinance. And Councilmember Diamond has requested that the Ethics Commission provide input into the ordinance. And typically the way that the commission does that is it issues a resolution in support of any ethics-related legislation that are filed by council members. And so I've taken the liberty of drafting a resolution in the typical format that we use, and it's in your packet for consideration. The last thing that I would add is that there will be some minor changes to the language in 761, but as of now, there's nothing about the disclosure requirements that are really going to change. And so I don't think it really changes the most of the substance of the bill. It's more definitional than what you have before you, but there could be changes.
Thank you. Let's talk about it. Anybody have any questions or comments?
I do.
Please.
Kirby, does this bill actually mirror the state bill? Does it track the... You said that it was based off of the state bill?
Yeah, so the disclosure requirements in the bill are tracking and modeled after an exemption that's built into state law that would negate a prohibitive conflict of interest if the council member were employed by an organization receiving city funding.
Okay. The only comment that I had was in paragraph 5, actually right 2 lines above paragraph 6 on page 4. Starting with participating in discussion at any city meetings or communicating with any officers or employees of the funding agency, I wondered, it made me think about whether they can have input into the nonprofit's decision or input to the city council.
That's a great question. And essentially what the state... So the definition of what participating or being personally involved in comes directly out of the exemption in the state ethics law. And prior conversations we've had with the State Ethics Commission about that very issue, there is some leeway provided to the council members to be able to participate on the nonprofit side and internal conversations. But there is a wall that is drawn essentially when those conversations are to go external and start interfacing with the city or the governmental organization.
Then, so in theory, then I think that the city council member could give a lot of insight to their not-for-profit. And perhaps we should discuss making our law a little bit more stringent, especially since we've had so many issues in the last year or so in Jacksonville. Just a thought for the commission.
Absolutely. That any recommendations that you have, I'm certain Council Member Diamond would like to hear.
I agree with some of your comments, and I also have a question about, it just says the councilman, but what about family? Immediate family, a spouse or a husband or, you know, a wife or a child or, you know, son-in-law. It's just as bad. So I think it needs to be a little bit more stringent to include some level of family, and I'm sure there are some other comments people would like to add to that.
If I may, to that point, the typical conflict of interest policy that the judge refers to, I mean, that's the language. It's any immediate family member that has a direct benefit. I think that's probably a good addition.
Thank you. Anybody else with a question or a comment? Oh, I'm going to get public comments in just a couple of moments. You'll be invited to speak before we vote. Thank you.
Kirby, which portion of the ordinance mirrors the state law? Is it the portion, all of it, or is it the portion that begins with the requirement for the affidavit, starting on page 3?
Yeah, it's the portion that begins with the requirement of the affidavit.
Okay, so all of that is totally mirrored from the state language then. Okay.
Yes, and that part was drafted with input from myself and Lasikia Hodges from the Office of General Counsel.
Okay.
So the other portion does not immediately above that, starting on page 3, line 9, the 1 and 2 where they're asking for the organization's annual audit and the current IRS 990 form. Where did that language come from?
That came from the council member. It was his bill.
Okay, from Council Member Diamond. Okay.
Linda?
My only other question was, if we signed off on this resolution, I would like it to be with, provided that the changes that we discussed would be included.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. And out of my own lack of familiarity with the process, you mentioned that one of the concerns was that there was a lack of notice, but I'm inferring that by using a competitive bid process, that would eliminate the lack of notice. There'd have, am I correct in thinking that the competitive bid process means there'd be some kind of public notification that the money was available and people would know that they could apply on behalf of their nonprofit organization?
That's right. That's typically how they're done. There are a number of competitive bid processes for grants in Chapter 118 that's referenced in this legislation that's being used in to make sure that the nonprofit funding for those organizations employ city council, they go through that particular competitive process. Mm-hmm. And to my knowledge, all of those are posted with some type of notice that they are seeking solicitations, if you will, or requests for proposal of services and things to get back. And they come with very stringent requirements.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that we are interested in supporting this ordinance, but with two amendments to the resolution. One is regarding what level of influence the council member would be allowed to have on the side of the nonprofit preparing an application. And then is that right? Did I understand correctly?
You did. And the only other thought I had, I was trying to rack my memory because I left my notes at home, was actually about this paragraph 1 and 2 that Cherry brought up. What is the significance of having those things disclosed?
Are you talking about page 4 or page?
On page 3.
3, where the affidavit starts?
Yeah, 1 and 2. What is the significance of having the most recent annual audit and the IRS 990?
So I'm going to toss that question to Andrea because she is very familiar with nonprofit organizations and can better answer that, and then I'll fill in on the back end.
We did not talk about this ahead of time, so off the top of my head, when we talked about why they would disclose their 990, the 990 tells you, as it relates to the conflicts law, Florida's conflicts law, who the officers are and whether or not they are paid by the nonprofit itself, and in certain cases, how much money those officers are making.
I'm sorry. So really, then, this is just to make sure that any officer is not actually, or any city council member is not actually an officer.
Yeah, when we were talking about it, that was my understanding. It's to make sure the people who are voting on the legislation aren't also benefiting on the nonprofit side. So that information gets disclosed in the 990s. And then the most recent audit information that's pretty typical from, we looked at the public service grants requirements and what they ask from nonprofits who receive funding from the city, and that was really typical. And we think that's probably to just have an independent auditor verify that your 990 is accurate and that you really aren't secretly paying somebody, you know, that's not listed publicly.
Okay, thank you.
Essentially.
Yeah, I having represented nonprofits for a long time, I have no issue with either of those requests, typically required for just about anything you apply for. Again, it goes back to the conflict of interest, who the highest paid individuals are, those kinds of things.
Okay, perfect.
So I think I understood correctly the first part of the recommendation or the how we might want to change the resolution, although I haven't wrapped my mind around language yet. And then, Linda, based on what you were saying, you would support the ordinance but would recommend that we add language that would maybe disallow, and I'm putting words in your mouth now, so we say at work you can accept, reject, or modify what I am about to say, that you would want to include language that would limit the participation of family members, immediate family members of the council person as well, from being an officer or having the same disclosure.
And you said it exactly.
You did.
Yeah, and make it more stringent and include a broader perspective, right? Not only family members, but also just more stringent language.
Okay.
Yeah. So with the family members, Madam Chair, I believe the judge was pointing to are the typical conflict of interest requirements that all of these restrictions apply to immediate family members of the council member as well.
Okay. And just kind of looking at Kirby for some guidance, should we come up with language right now if we kind of thinking through, I think just kind of thinking through the logistics based on body language, it sounds like this is something we're all interested in, but I could get closer to entertaining a motion to move forward with an amended resolution, but maybe we need language first.
Where would you want it? Do you want it in as a part of the affidavit so that the council member completes it? Or do you want it for the nonprofit itself to provide it? It seems like it may be a part of the affidavit if it's a family member or a friend, right?
I think that's the only mechanism that we have at this point to include that.
As a part of the affidavit.
So. To have the council member include as part of the affidavit an affirmation that none of their family members, neither they nor their family member, I think it talks about the percentage of the company they own or what their salary is and affirms that they won't be paid from the city funding.
Right, the grant that's given.
Okay. So the conflict of standard conflict of interest form will have a statement that says neither that I, Carlton, nor any member of my family has, and then what the requirement is. So it puts both of them in one sentence within the affidavit, and you submit that once a year.
Okay. And Imani, help me think through what would language look like around limiting the council person's participation in discussions on the nonprofit side in preparation for the application?
We'd probably have to think about that. Really, I just want to make sure that the council person really isn't giving the application, the people who are in charge of the application, some insight or some advanced knowledge or some knowledge that others might not have.
Okay.
In that. So we probably need to just think about that language a little bit. I hadn't thought about it off the top of my head.
Okay.
May I speak?
Yeah, of course.
My understanding is this is Councilmember Diamond's ordinance, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is not here, so we cannot ask these questions of him. I propose that we sort of table this, let him know that we generally support the law, but that we have additional suggestions that we would like him to add in. I don't know that the onus is on us to write the language, right? It's his bill. So that's where I am.
I would second that.
Before you second it, let me ask for public comment. Hello. Before you speak, let me set up some parameters. I'll have you have 3 minutes to speak, but please just speak on the topic that we're talking about now, Councilmember Diamond's proposed ordinance, and there'll be opportunity for additional public comment on any topic at the end of the meeting, Mr. Nooney. Okay, and I'll start a timer for you when you get going.
Why don't you use another mic?
Does this one work? It should work. Yvonne tested it before.
Bascom Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32216, City Council, District 4. And thank you, Chair, for recognizing public participation 2017-160 before a vote is taken. And, you know, I support deferring the legislation. And, you know, just speaking to the ordinance, 2021-761, you know, you have to remember, you know, we had this JEA debacle, and now we have this with, you know, four members of the city council, and, you know, really just special treatment for not-for-profits. And so, you know, tightening up the ordinance, you know, not, you know, and just to expand on it, as what he was alluding to, you know, we really need to restore the public trust in Umpqua County. I mean, it's just been crushed. So I just support the deferral at this time. I think Councilman Diamond, you know, it's very intricate to, you know, incorporate him into this because it is his legislation. And, you know, you've got some very good questions and you may want to just expand on it. So, but again, I am absolutely elated in that you just recognized me before you even considered voting on this. So thank you.
Thank you. So did you want to make a motion, Darcy?
Sure. I would move to defer any decision this commission has on support of the ordinance until further discussion.
Well, you can just defer it. You don't need a motion to
defer
it.
Okay. I was also hearing, though, that we might want to let Councilmember Diamond know that we are in general support. Is that a fair statement, like general support with the concerns noted? So he'll have some feedback from us about where we landed on this.
I move that we do that.
I'll second that.
Well, let me ask, doesn't the ethics director have a fairly open relationship anyway mm-hmm. with Councilman Diamond? So, you know, I think that the natural process might work, right, as opposed to doing anything formal.
That's reasonable. Kirby, what are your thoughts? Do we need, or Cherry, do we need to make a formal vote to show our appreciation and feedback, or we could just give him the feedback based on the meeting?
Yeah, I would. I don't think you need to formally vote today, you know, because the resolution obviously needs to be changed. So,
okay.
Deferral. If you just put deferral on the in the minutes, then you should be okay.
I'm definitely happy to relay your feedback and your input to Councilmember Diamond, and it can absolutely be informal. Okay. If you all wanted to more formalize your position in terms of the additional requirements that you're seeking, you certainly could and would be appropriate to take a motion on those two things and just, you know, more crystallize exactly, make sure everyone's on the same page. But I think I have a decent understanding of it. I can read it back to you from my notes if you'd like me, but I'm happy to relay that to him and to Paige Johnston, who is the attorney in the Office of General Counsel that's working on it.
I just have a question. It's a serious issue. It's appropriately before us. I don't know that I like it to seem like we just deferred mm-hmm. the issue. I would suggest that we make a strong statement that this is necessary, and we actually think it needs to be a little tweaked a little bit to make it a little bit more stringent rather than just say we kind of deferred. So I don't know if I agree that we should just...
Well, you already have a motion and a second on the floor right now, so you have to do away with that, you know, motion. Either vote it down, vote it, or if you
want to. Well, we can definitely do that. Let me ask you a clarifying question, Cherry, because I think the motion is to defer a decision on the resolution. Can we do that and then have a second motion made to formalize our concern and forward them to Councilmember Diamond, or do you think we squash this and then try again?
I was going to recommend that if you just withdraw your motion to defer on the resolution itself, and then perhaps maybe another motion that is more in line with your, I guess, your official decision on the legislation itself. Because the resolution, it's pretty much stating that you're in favor of it, but it does not include these comments. So that's why
I would not recommend you vote on the resolution, but you can vote, you know, to generally, you know, support the, you know, the legislation. But again, how are you going to get your comments in? That's the concern.
So if I may say, I mean, one of the nice things about this office is that we've had the leadership of Carla, and now we're under the leadership of Kirby, and they have a really good relationship with the council people. And so I think, in my opinion, an informal Kirby says, hey, we need some, we support this, but we need some additional work. I think that would be sufficient such that when that work gets done, we can then have a formal vote and a resolution and get it done so that it doesn't seem like we're just passing the buck. Because I don't think anybody here is passing the buck. Right now, what we really want to do is say, look, we support it. It needs work. Let's get the work done and then come back and let's vote on it.
So that would be a good motion there.
I would agree. I think we can just move forward. So I'll withdraw and we'll go forward on her motion and the seconded to defer.
Okay. But you would need to withdraw your motion so that, because there's a motion that's already on the floor.
It's Darcy's motion.
It's my motion, right?
Oh, it's Darcy's motion.
I thought it was your motion, Mr. Freiber.
No, I seconded.
Oh, you seconded.
Yeah, it was Darcy's motion.
Bad. All right, so it was your motion, Darcy, to defer. So if you can withdraw that and then, if you guys, but it's up to the committee.
I think we just decided that we wanted to move forward with Darcy's motion.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I think so. Right. And then the informal.
Okay.
We're gonna keep each other honest, me and Terry.
Okay.
I think what we decided was that we're going to move forward with voting on Darcy's motion and that we are fully supportive of Kirby having communication with council member Diamond. And did you say Paige was his person? And Paige with our feedback.
Gotcha.
And then if we want to come together and do a resolution at a future meeting, we certainly can do that when the language of the ordinance...
Okay. That sounds good.
Meets our expectations. Okay, so it's moved and seconded. Is there any additional discussion about the motion to defer signing off on the resolution? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of deferring signing off on the motion, on the resolution, say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Okay, thank you. That Robert's Rules of Order. Oh, it's a challenge.
I just didn't want to leave it out there.
A quick fact that nobody cares about. Did you know that Robert's Rules of Order came about because this officer, military officer, was called upon to run a meeting back in like 18-something, and he did a terrible job. It was awful, and he was embarrassed, and he developed the rules so that it would never happen to him or anyone else again. I'm just a tiny nerd. Okay, thank you. let's see. What's up next? Hiring of an ethics attorney. Kirby, I'm going to turn that back over to you again for some information about how that's going.
Okay, thank you so much. So this is just some more detail to that new attorney position that we had talked about. We did post the ethics attorney position on October 20th, and we distributed it to a number of places, including the Jacksonville Bar Association, the Hispanic Bar Association, the D.W. Perkins Bar Association, alumni for Edwards Waters College, UNF, and JU, the Florida Association of County Attorneys, the Florida City and County Management Association, the Florida Bar Local Government Section Serve, Indeed, LinkedIn, and the city's social media platforms. So we hope that we have had a broad enough distribution to let everyone know. The posting is actually open for 3 weeks and will close on Sunday, November 14th. So far, we have had 3 applicants since it's been posted the last, you know, about 11 or so days. So the process from here is that when it closes, if Employee Services feels like there is a sufficient amount of applicants in the pool and they don't recommend reposting or continuing on with the posting of it, the Employee Services will perform an initial qualification review and send the applicants to us, so they'll weed out people that don't meet the minimum qualifications. And then there will be an exam for the applicants. Some people may choose not to take it, and then that would eliminate them from consideration, or or some people, you know, may complete it. And those that get a top score on the exam that aren't, which is essentially a passing grade, are sent to the ethics office for interviews. And then at that time, we will schedule interviews with those candidates. And my understanding is that Ellen will also participate in the interviews, as been the has been the practice of the commission and prior positions, to get the commission input into the hiring process, and then we would make a decision at that point. So that is the update.
Any questions?
Yes, what kind of interview are they having, or what kind of test?
Well, I can't really get into the details of it because it's confidential.
Just generally.
No, I appreciate that. So it's designed to measure skills. They will be doing exercises that are designed to measure skills that we need for that particular position.
Okay. That's the exam.
Yes, that's the exam.
And then was that your question, Imani, or did you have questions more about the interview process itself?
No. I should probably read the description more fully.
Gotcha.
Go from there.
Anybody else have a question for Kirby or a comment? No. Okay. Excellent. Okay. We're up to Ethics Commission officer elections. So I'm going to turn this back over to Kirby and Cherry.
Okay, great. So I'm going to start with giving you some background. Your election of officers is governed by your Internal Operating Procedures Rule 5. That says that you will be you have to elect your chair and vice chair by either the November or December meeting each year. So in accordance with that rule, you'll be electing your chair and vice chair today. I polled all eligible Ethics Commission members to obtain their preference for serving for chair or vice chair in this coming year for 2022. Only Ellen advised that she would serve as chair. And for vice chair, only Darcy advised that she would be willing to serve as vice chair.
We accept them both.
Second.
I can always count on you, Imani.
Where's the sign?
So there is a proper motion, I think, on the floor. In a second.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is there any further discussion about the motion? I think
Cherry,
you got it.
But there's a motion and a second on the floor, so that eliminates my duty was to open the floor for nominations and call out the nominations. But you already have an official motion, so. Thank you, Imani, for, you know.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Okay, so all those in favor of...
Madam Chair, if I may, will you ask for a public comment?
Oh, yes, of course I will. Anybody else want to make a comment before we vote? Thank you for the reminder. We're all keeping each other honest today.
So the motion is for Ellen as chair and Darcy as vice chair. Normally I would require that to be separate motions, but I'm not going to give it too much.
Okay. And no public comment and no discussion. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Thank you. We appreciate it.
Congratulations again.
Thank you. Oh, so let's talk about 2022 and committee preferences. I don't know that you have to say today, but one of the first things that I had to do last year when I was elected chair was to make committee assignments for 2022. And one of the things that helped me tremendously was to have your preferences for your first and second, your top choices. You could even rank them all, do rank order voting, and tell me your first, second, third, and fourth choices. The four committees are complaints, legislative, internal ops, and open government. So you may want to continue to serve on the one that you were on before. You may have an interest in a new one. But if you could, maybe we'll ask Sandy to send out an email and solicit your thoughts and opinions. No joke, this was probably the hardest part of the job. Like, seriously, it was very difficult. We have a grid.
Pardon me. Yes, can you repeat those four committees?
Sure,
again,
I will.
Please?
One is complaints.
Okay.
One is legislative. One is internal ops. and one is open government. And I'll amend my ask to Sandy to ask her to send a little snippet about what each one does so that you'll have an idea about what the function of the committee is. So as you're thinking about your choices, you can see which one maybe lends itself most to your area of expertise or your passion, and then make the choice accordingly. I tried to give everybody their first or second choice, but it was terrible because just terrible. I'm a person who wants everybody to get their first choice and be happy, so I'm going to hope that that's what works out this time. But the more information you can give me about your preferences, the better I can do for all of us to get you on the right committee. I can say that nobody got their fourth choice, that's for sure. Okay, that'd be great. And then we're going to swing into old business. Kirby, you go ahead and help us with that.
So Ordinance 2020-705 is a proposed ordinance that was filed by Councilmember Dennis that would require registration by political consultants. And Imani's Legislative Committee, some of the members here will be familiar with having had the meeting back in May to discuss that. You all had some questions about that legislation and some really good general feedback. So I took that back to Paige Johnston and the Office of General Counsel that drafted it. And we scheduled a meeting with Cherry and Paige and Councilmember Dennis to discuss the commission or the legislative committee's input into that bill. And Paige then redrafted the bill to incorporate that feedback. He was good with your feedback, the initial part that you had given in the questions. And then Paige and I met again recently to go over some additional things and thoughts that I had and some questions about how the legislation would operate in the process. And so Paige is now in the process of regrouping with Councilmember Dennis to see what his preference is. Does he want it to come back to the commission? Is he going to proceed forward? You know, what is it that he might want you all to do? So I just wanted to make sure that you had a status update on that legislation.
Thank you. Any questions about that? Okay, well, that's the end of old business. So next on the agenda is public comments. So Mr. Nooney, do you have additional public comments?
Yes.
Come on up, and I'll reset my timer, and I'll start it when you get going. You'll have 3 minutes to talk on any topic that you like. You're not limited to anything we discussed today.
All right. Hello. Okay, my name is John Nooney, and again, I just want to touch on public participation. I like to listen to this. This was the TEU meeting, Council Chambers, just hours ago. You all recognized public participation earlier. And this is the issue through the Jacksonville City Council committee process where the public is being crushed.
Thank you so much. All in favor of the amendment, say aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, the amendment passes. Any motion?
Point of order. Right here.
Excuse me, Mr. Kennedy, you know you can't do that. Sorry.
I fill in a speaker card.
Please have a seat.
But, Sheriff, sure. But you rule ethics meeting.
And then I can go, and then I have my public comment. But I'll tell you, this can't be Jackson. I got, at the 3/26/2021 Ethics Commission meeting, I had asked Carla at the end, public participation, what happened? And she had told me that it was an interpretation by MGC. No one I can fix it. It's the Attorney General of the State of Florida, or the State Attorney of the Fourth Judicial Circuit. I want to testify to that. I'm telling you, I go to a lot of meetings. I got, or I'm not concerned this is evidence. I don't know how.
And, you know, it comes down to where it's supposed to be the discretion of the chair. You know, with all the, you know, that's, you know, that's very weak. You go to some, and, you know, but I got dozens of examples. But here, I applaud you, your ethics. This is the foundation, the absolute foundation. And if it doesn't happen, it's just not going to happen. So I just want to thank you. I mean, pull the tape, save it, do whatever you want, use it throughout the country.
Thank you.
But you just demonstrated, and thank you for all the public participation. And very super meeting.
Thank you. Are there any other public comments? Now we have announcements. I have maybe three, maybe. And they're about us, people at the table. So, Linda, I heard that you had an amazing accomplishment, which might be that you got to the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro. Is that correct? Can you? Wow.
Congratulations.
I'm so impressed. Tell us something about that.
Wow.
I mean, I can imagine you could write a book about it, but can you tell us anything about your experience? Wow.
It was just amazing. But it's hard to, you know, wrap it up into a brief statement. It's just so much happening over a course of 7 days and meeting amazing people and having amazing staff and porters who helped us. And it was a challenge. It was definitely a challenge, but you feel amazingly proud after you do it. And then you have a day to get all the way down. And you're just like, oh, my Lord.
Are you saying going up is harder than coming down?
Yeah, it was definitely an adventure. And it was hard because we left to summit at midnight. And I've done a lot of hiking and I've done altitude, but I've never been that long at the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going from 15,000 to about 19,400 in one night. But it's hours upon hours of in the dark, just seeing in front, and that's just weird. It was kind of you get a little bit of a vertigo feeling because mm-hmm. you just don't know where you are and you don't have a sense of what's happening and the terrain keeps changing and you can't see it. So
I hope you do write a book.
It was interesting. It was very interesting. But we made it. It was very
Congratulations on your accomplishment. Very impressive. And then in October, I was at the Jasmine Coming Out Day breakfast, and I was minding my own business in the back of the room at the PFLAG table, and they announced the Sapphire Award winner for volunteerism, and guess who it was? It was Darcy. I was so excited. She was way in the front. I was in the cheap seats, but I was like, oh, I know her. I'm so excited. So congratulations on your award. I don't know if you want to say anything about it. I was super impressed. And they said such beautiful things about Darcy. I got a little teary. It was really lovely.
I'm just grateful they let me be part of their mission.
That's lovely. Thank you. And then Carlton, today is your last meeting with us, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
And so we're so sad. I might cry again. I'm going to thank you for everything you've done for the commission over your time of service. I know I learn from you every time you talk. I'm very impressed with the things you say and the way you say them in your calm manner. And I know we're better for having had you serving among us. So thank you for your service. We appreciate you. And Kirby might have an announcement.
I do. I was remiss in telling you this, Ellen, but on November 10th, Leadership Jacksonville is going to honor Carla as their Lawyer of the Year or their Lawyer of the Year or their Tilly Fowler Award. Thank you, Judge. For outstanding leadership and service.
That's lovely.
For her work on JEA. So.
And if any others have anything exciting going on that should be recognized, I didn't recognize it only because I don't know. And so if you want to give yourself or someone else a shout out or anybody else has an announcement, I invite you to make it. No? Okay. That's all I got. I guess we can adjourn our meeting. How did we do? 5:24 p.m. We got a lot done in less than an hour. I'm very impressed with all of you. I have a lovely, lovely evening and a lovely month and happy Thanksgiving if I don't see you before then.
Thank you.
I know. It seems like a long way and it'll be here before we know it.